Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Mem Ches, Chapter 48. We are now about to learn the final chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. This Sefer has taken us from the lowest place we could imagine the Jewish people would sink, as it is almost destroyed, and it goes through a better Gullus to a time when the nation and the land is rebuilt. Throughout this section of Nechama of Consolation in the Book of Yechezkel, each Perek has added to the grandeur of the parak before. Yechezkel is so descriptive in each of his prakim that now in this last parak we could be anticipating a picture of life with the Shekhinah in the Beis HaMikdash as only Yechezkel HaNavi could describe. But that's not how the Sefer ends. Instead, the parak ends very technically by defining the boundaries of each Shevet as well as the size and portion and position of the Truma portion of the land mentioned earlier. Why is this the appropriate end to the Sefer? This is reminiscent of a different time. When the Jews were in the Midbar, in the desert, in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, it describes precisely where each Shevet camped and how they traveled, and that they did so based on the direction of Hashem. The Shekhinah was not dependent on the holiness of the Kohanim or the service in the Mishkan. It was dependent on each Jew and each Shevet fulfilling their personal mission in their own homes as part of the whole. This was true in the Midbar, and it will be true in the time of the third Beis HaMikdash. The most ideal state of the Jewish people is best expressed when every Jew fulfills his or her mission. The camp in the Midbar was different than the land divisions now, but it still has some similarities to draw our attention to this message. The camp in the Midbar had the Mishkan in center. It was surrounded by Levium and Kohanim. Beyond the Kohanim and Levium, three Shvatim camped on each side of the Mishkan. On the north side was camped Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. To the west was Ephraim, Manasseh, and Binyamin. From the north, the Nachos of Eretz Yisrael in our parak follow a similar pattern. Going from north to south, first we have the Shvatim who are to the north of the Mishkan, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. Next we have two of the Shvatim to the west, Manasseh and Ephraim. The orders of the sons of Yosef is reversed, that Ephraim will be closer to the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. From the western side, we skip Binyamin, as he will get a portion directly next to the Truma, as we will explain later, and move to the south to the Shevet, Reuven, the Bechor, who will sit next to Yehuda, a place of honor for both. The middle of the Nachalos, the middle of the inheritance portions, is like the middle of the camp of the Midbar. It has a higher level of Kedusha. In the times of David, Yehuda and Binyamin contributed land to make Yerushalayim. Here, the land does not come from their portion, but Yehuda and Binyamin border this special new portion. South of Yehuda is the Truma, and beyond that is the portion of Binyamin. As we discussed in the previous parak, Mem Hei, this Truma section has strips of land for the Kohanim, Levium, and a city for Yisrael. To the side of the Truma is a section for the land of the Nasi. South of the Truma is Binyamin, and then we go back to the camp in the Midbar for the order of the next Shvatim. We take another Shevet from the south, Shimon, followed by the two remaining Shvatim from the east, Yisachar and Zebulun. The most southern Shevet is Gad, who camped in the Midbar in the south, but was taken out of order for different reasons. The parak begins by defining the northernmost border in Parak Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Mikseh Tzpona al Yad Cheslon Dan Echad. From the northern end, near Cheslon, Dan 1. Each Shevet's portion is described by the word Echad. Chazal say that this word Echad teaches us that each Shevet had the same width, same size, and same topography. Rav Breuer teaches us that it shows that each Shevet is getting their portion directly from Hashem, who is Echad, who is one, and then the nation will now become one with him. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, tells us that Asher was to the south. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Valdvor Asher, Naphtali Echad, and by the board of Asher was Naphtali, 1. Next came Manasseh, then Ephraim, then Reuven, then Yehuda. Pasuk Ches, verse 8, tells us about the Truma portion that was next to Yehuda. As we said before, the Truma section of the Kohanim will have within it HaMikdash B'Sofo, the Mikdash, the sanctuary within it. The sanctuary shall be in its midst, which gives the top strip of the Kohanim an added Kedusha. Psukim Tesri of Bays 9-12 discuss the top strip of the Truma that measures 25,000 east to west and 10,000 measures north to south. And it notes again that it belongs to the Kohanim who descended from Tzadok, as they never sinned with Avodah Zarah as the rest of the nation did. Pasuk Yudbeis, verse 12, V'haisa lahem trumiya mitrumas ha'aret. And it shall be for them a portion set apart from the offering of the land, Kodesh Kadashim Avul HaLevi'im, a thing most holy by the border of the Levi'im. This top section is a Truma from the Truma. a unique section with the highest level of Kedusha. Even though this is the portion with the most Kedusha, it is not the focus of the rest of the Perek, as Yechezkel will turn his eyes to another part of the land. Pasuk Gimel, verse 13, tells us that next to the Kohanim is a section of the Levian, which will be the same size as the Kohanim section, 25,000 by 10,000 north to south. Pasuk Yadalad, verse 14, puts stipulations on the land of both the Kohanim and Levian. Though it is an inheritance, they may not sell it, exchange it, or abandon it, because Ki Kodesh LaHashem, it is holy. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, beneath the strip of the Levian, there is another strip of land that measures only 5,000 from north to south. This part of the Truma does not have the status of being Kodesh like the section of the Kohanim and the Levian. Instead, Chol Hula'ir, Moshav v'ulimigrash, it shall be not holy, and used for dwelling and for open land. V'haisa ha'ir b'selcha, right in the middle of it, of this section, they should establish a city. One would think that since this city is called non-holy, it would not deserve attention. But it is this city that is the focus at the end of the parak. This city is important as it represents all the Shvatim who come to serve Hashem. This is the true goal of everything which Yechezkel has been describing in this Sefer. From the Pasuk, we learn its size. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16. It will be 4,500 rods, or about 7 2/3 miles square. Around its perimeter will be a midrash, an open space of 250 rods. The open space, including the city, makes its city boundaries 5,000 square rods. Rav Breuer points out that Har HaBayis measures 500 square rods. The Temple Mount is a miser, the type of this city. This city is the source for the Mikdash, and the Mikdash elevates this city. Next, the Pesukim tell us about the farmland to be used to grow produce for the city and who works in the city. Pasuk Yudches, to the east and the west of the city there is Nosar, an extra area left over not included in the city. It is a space of 10,000 rods to the east and 10,000 rods to the west. The area of Nosar is Ru'umas Trumas HaKodesh. It is as long as the portion that is Kodesh, and it is used to grow produce for the workers of the city. This area that is called Chol, mundane, is constantly compared to the Truma, which is called Holy, because although it is intrinsically a regular city, it derives its holiness from the Mikdash and is special. Who works there? Pasuk Yutes, verse 19. Va'oved ha'ir yavduhu mikol shifte Yisrael. Each worker of the city shall serve it on behalf of all the tribes of Israel. These workers are to come from all the Shvatim, and their work is holy. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, summarizes the size of the Truma section to be 25,000 by 25,000. Though there are parts of this 25,000 square area that are considered Chol, like the land to the side of the city and the city itself, in this Pasuk it says that the Truma section served the city of the Shiftei Yisrael. Rav Breuer tells us that in the time of the third Beis HaMikdash, just as there are no divisions between the upper and lower waters, as we discussed in the last parak, there will be no division between the holy and the mundane. Both have a purpose. They function together to create a society devoted to Hashem. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, reminds us about the Nasi, whose job is to elevate the Jewish people. Va'nosar le'nasi mizet u'mizet, and the rest shall be for the prince, on one side and the other. The pasuk ends, Va'hesa trumas ha'kodesh u'mikdash ha'bayis b'sofo, and it will be a holy truma, and the mikdash is in its midst. The Nasi's job is to ensure that the Beis HaMikdash becomes holy and elevated, as it is within his portion and is his responsibility. He plays a key role in creating the harmony and service that starts in the Truma section and flows to all the Shvatim. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, continues with the land distribution from north to south. We read of the portions from Binyamin, Shimon, Yisachar, Zvulun, and finally Gad. The last six psukim don't discuss the Mishkan, the topic of the last eight prakim at all. Instead, the psukim talk about this city that measures 5,000 by 5,000. Rav Breuer says that until this city is built and until it transforms how the Jewish people worship Hashem, there can be no Beis HaMikdash. For this reason, in Perek Mem, chapter 40, when Yechezkel is brought to Yerushalayim to see the Bayis Shlishi, he sees the outline of the city from afar. The city that is in the distance is the source of holiness in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mikdash gives the city its purpose. In Perek Mem, verse 40, when describing the third Beis HaMikdash, Yechezkel started with a description of the gates. Here too, when describing the layout of the area, Yechezkel focuses on the gates of the city. In Pasuk Lamed, Yechezkel describes that this square city will have three gates on each side. Each gate is named for a shevet. The gates are called Totsaos, exit, as their significance is that what is inside in a city can spread outward. We saw a similar concept when we heard about the river that flows out from the Kodesh Kodashim, and the windows in the temple walls that got wider going out. The primary purpose for these openings was not to set boundaries in separation, but to spread Torah and knowledge of Hashem throughout the land. Chazal teach us why we need 12 gates, three on each side. This shows us that every shevet is necessary. Every shevet has a unique approach to serving Hashem. They will share that experience with others based on their own outlook. When I lived in Washington Heights with Steinman Zatzal, a gadol from Israel went and visited American cities at the age of 93 to inspire and strengthen them. The Washington Heights community, better known as Breuers, has unique menhagim in many aspects of the congregation. He encouraged them to hold strong to their menhagim. In the times of Mashiach, he said, when the Jewish people come back to Israel, we will need all of our menhagim to be complete. We are not asked to become a homogenous mass, but to maintain who we are to benefit everyone. This is the message here. Every shevet has a path, and it must be accepted and nurtured for us to be whole. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31. The Shari Ha'ir al Shmo Shifte Yisrael Sha'arim Shlosha Tefona Sha'aruvin Echad Sha'ar Yehuda Echad Sha'ar Levi Echad. And the gates of the city will be according to the names of the Shvatim. The northern three gates are Ruvain, Yehuda, and Levi. They are all children of Leah, and they live together in harmony. The Bechor, the Shevet of the Malchus of the kingship, and the Kahuna. In this city, Levi is not separated from his brothers. To the east you have the children of Rachel, Yosef and Binyamin, as well as the oldest son of Bilha, who is Rachel's maid, Dan. To the south are the remaining children of Leah, Shimon, Yisachar, and Zula. Shimon being opposite the gate of Levi, Shimon and Levi will once again be Achim. To the west are the children of Bilha and Zilpa, Naphtali, Asher, and Gad. Pasuk Lamed Hei, Saviv Shmona Asar Ella, which shall be 18,000 rods round about. The Malbim tells us that this measurement of 18,000 has within it mystical ideas. Numbers are not just mentioned for information, but to reference concepts that we can't necessarily understand. The Perek and the Sefer conclude, the Shem Ha'ir Miyom Hashem Shama, and the name of the city from that day shall be Hashem is there. This is a strange name, Hashem is there. The simple message is that when the nation is set up in the land with each shevet living in their portion, each doing its own role, and they each send a representative to the city that serves Hashem, and they have a Beis HaMikdash to serve him, Hashem comes to the city. Bava Basra teaches us that it should not be read that Hashem is there, rather Hashem Shema. Its name is Hashem. A name is the essence of a person or a place. In this city, the focus of every shevet will be to serve Hashem. This new city replaces the city of Yerushalayim where people served themselves and the service of Hashem was forgotten. Instead, in this perfect world, our essence of where we live and what we do is to bring the glory of Hashem to this world. In Perek Aleph, Hashem left Yerushalayim to be with his people. In this Perek, Hashem returns to his people to a rebuilt city that will stand forever. Breuer adds a unique interpretation. The Pasuk says, B'shem Ha'ir Miyom, the name of this city from this day. This city, its name, and its very existence depends on what is happening in the Yom from today. What the nation does with its todays can build a future that is as glorious as described in this parak. When can the nation who is stuck in Gala start the journey to perfection? Today. They can change today, and their actions will bring this city which is called Hashem Shama, Hashem is there, into reality. As Rav Breuer says so eloquently, the people of Israel must first build a home for God in their own lives, no matter where they may dwell in the exile. As we end the parak, this idea gives me hope and a mission for the future. I must transform my todays, for when I do, tomorrow will be perfect. Learning Yechezkel with you each day has been a very special experience. Preparing and recording these prakim transformed my todays. When I signed up for the Sefer, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Yechezkel is hard and hits to the core of who we are and what we do. His words can be devastating and hopeful, confusing and breathtaking. As I prepared, despite the challenges, I gained resolve from knowing that on the other end is going to be a group of incredible women who are each making their today special by learning Torah. I am looking forward to continuing this journey with you as I once again become a listener. I also look forward to the day when we can meet in person and actually see the beautiful world Yecheskel has talked about. As we take leave of this Sefer, I am grateful that we can leave with this word, miyom, from this day. From this day and from every day, we know that what we are striving for. We want to see a rebuilt third Beis HaMikdash, a world of Kiddush Hashem, and we were given the tools in this Sefer to help start bringing that into reality. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas Malka Esther Basri Yosef.